I'm just going to start it. Just get it over with. It's the news, according to me. let's just get this thing over with. That's the attitude now. Oh, boy. Hey, good morning. It is Wednesday. This is counting down. Two more days I go back to work. I have June 18th, 7:09 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. Oh, boy. It's been quite the week. It's just flying by. so much I haven't gotten done. I haven't even finished mowing the yard yet that I started on Saturday. I think it was Saturday. Or was it Monday? I don't know what day it was. I think it might be Monday. I don't know. Today's Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Mower's been sitting on the yard for a while. I think I need a coil or some kind. I don't know. I haven't opened it up. I just know there were some wiring issues previously that I think have finally, you know, it got me through a summer last year. It's not going to get me through this summer, I don't think. So time to do some tune-ups, some tuning of the mower. Like everything else around here, let's break it down. At least the motorhome's working. I had to go down to Huntington and pick it up yesterday. I loaned it to a friend of mine. He ended up in the hospital. Had some medical issues. So I ran down there and picked that back. Yeah, I just brought it back. And of course, you have the boat. It's not working right now either. It's got a fuel issue of some kind. Two cars that have are right now in the shop getting engines put in them. A truck that finally works, I think. I'm not going too far with it yet, just yet. I'm not going to depend on it to get to work. Let's put it that way. I might have to though this week. I have nothing else to drive. The wife has a car. I have one car that the wife is going to have. We both return back to work at the same time, and of course. I am stuck with being gone 5 days, possibly with a truck that gets terrible gas mileage and also, I don't know. We're just going to find out, I guess, what else is going to go wrong with that thing. Take it on a two-hour drive. Three-hour drive, really. It's going to be an interesting weekend. It's going to be an interesting rest of the summer, I guess, as we continue on here. I have not much I want to talk about today. Nothing in the docket. Let's just put it that way. Nothing on the docket. There's a little. It's like it's. Let's see if I can pull it. I can pull this up because it was a really good soundbite of this. Lady who was talking about something. And while I'm doing that, I'll talk about what's in my cup. I have, here it is. This is the thing. I was on the left. He's losing it. In my main cup here this morning, I have a little surprise in my backup cup. Not much of a surprise, but just a little bit. I have my chai with my Almond Joy creamer. And of course, then I have in my backup cup, guess where I went yesterday? I went to Chick-fil-A, and I have my sweet tea right here with the perfect ice. Pretty much perfect. Some of it's melted. It's a little bit watered down, but it's still Chick-fil-A sweet tea, which is it's just good stuff. Which is very good. I'm all out of my other tea, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of that. There's an interview between Sean Penn and what's the guy's name? Marr. Bill Maher is this guy's name. Now, Bill has met with the president, and he's kind of chilled out about the whole. He's not crazy anymore about the. Well, he's still crazy, but he's not you know insane about some of his issues. Sean Penn has gone and visited you know people like Hugo Chavez. He met with Fidel. He just all kinds of dictators all over the place. And communist, of course, because he's a communist. And he just thinks that there's wonderful people. He thinks he's just did such a wonderful thing to go meet with those people and just did so much for. I think he met with the leader of Iran at one point. This is the kind of stuff these people do just to get attention. It's all about them and their attention. But he won't go meet with the president because this president's terrible. He's a terrible person. And Bill Maher actually talks some sense to the guy and says, you know, you're just triggered and this, and you just have an emotional triggered thing and you need to get over it, basically. You know, why don't you go meet with this president? Of course, I don't know. Trump would probably meet with him. And Trump would play him like a fiddle, just like he did with Bill Maher. Basically, he would walk away going, okay, this guy's not, you know, he's not some maniac that I've been saying he is. Because it was just the caricature that they have produced with the narrative that they continue to push is very far from who the man really is. And that's the problem that they're trying, that's the juxtaposition that they're in right now, which I don't know what that means. A couple of things. Lefty's Losing It had a pretty good, this is the one that was on this morning, Rita Pena. Whatever. If you get a chance to watch it on, it's Sky News Australia, but it's I think they posted it about 5-6 hours ago, something like that. They're on the other side of the clock with us, but it's worth listening to. It did quite a bit of stuff. There's one little thing, I guess on Hollywood now they're going to have Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm going to put that on again. Now it's a new season for that, I guess, or whatever. And now they've got a woman playing the part. And it's about time. It's about time a woman plays the part of Jesus Christ. She's going to play the part of Jesus. Yeah. It's about time. It's about time somebody, it's about time a woman plays that part. Oh, really? You know, I get tired of the everything's race, everything's racial. If you were to, I guess she was on Stephen Colbert. That's what it was on. This lady who's going to get that. If you were to, if a white person said the things that black people say, and exchange the word black for the word white, you would be considered a white supremacist, racist, Nazi, evil individual. Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, mayor. By the way, the city of Chicago is an institution. It is the mayor is an institutional power office. It's the highest office of institutional power in Chicago. Some would argue in the state of Illinois. Brandon Johnson gets up and starts, I hope I can find this. Actually, I really do need to play this because it really is quite telling. Let's see if this, I think this is it right here. Let me see if I can play this thing of this lady talking about her kids going out the door. This isn't the one. This is something different. It's got to be the next one here someplace. Not that one. Here we go. This is the one. This is the one. This is the one. Yeah, it's right here. Okay. Let's pull it right there. Right, that's the spot right there. This lady talked about her son and her husband walking out the door to go to a No Kings protest. And she has to stay home. She's all upset because she has to stay home because her other child is sick. So she has to stay home with the child. But her husband and her son are going to this protest. And she's so proud of them. She's so proud of them. And here she is. She's going to talk about what this is like. I don't know what to talk about. This is courtesy of Sky News Australia here. It's going to be... Just hear what this lady says.
You're about to be a
son. Okay, wait till she's done.
My husband and my son. My 7-year-old
Now, this lady son. This lady is probably gotta be in her 30s. Or maybe early 30s. I don't know. You can tell just by looking at her, what kind of where she is at politically. She's got a septum ring, of course. She has what looks like a prison tattoo on her, from clavicle down. It looks like a necklace, but it goes from one clavicle to the other clavicle, and it goes down maybe 6 inches, droops around the, like where, you know, normally your neckline would be. Looks great on you, though. And I think there's a couple other tattoos there. I don't know what she's actually wearing because I can't see, like, anything. It's like she's, I don't know, she's got some kind of tops. I don't know what it is. She's definitely proud of her tattoos there. She's showing those off. And I don't get this culture with all the tattoos. I don't understand it. It's the mutilation of your body. It's not a bumper. You're not a car. Okay. I don't get it. Like, you're going to improve on something that God made. I don't understand it. I'm not condemning anybody for it. I'm just saying, I don't get it. I just don't get it. You want to put a temporary sticker on yourself? Okay, whatever. I just permanently do something to yourself like that. I don't get that at all. I don't understand the piercing thing. I don't even understand why women pierce their ears. Where'd that come from?
Well, it talks in the Bible about the servant who has his ear pierced to the door.
That's a whole different thing. He doesn't wear the door around the rest of his life. It'd be interesting if he tried, I guess. But okay, I guess you want to wear a door on your ear. Okay, let's listen to what this lady has to say.
Just walked out the door to go to a No Kings protest. And I'm staying home because my other son does not feel well. And as they were walking out the door, I said, thank you for being so brave and going and doing this. And my son looked at me and said, will it change things? And I said, I hope so, buddy.
He asked the right question. He absolutely asked the right question. And she gave him a very sad answer, in my opinion. Will it change things? Will it change things? Now, obviously, he's been indoctrinated to think that things are terrible and they need to be changed. Life is we're living. Can you imagine how traumatized these kids are? Their parents are walking around wringing their hands saying, oh, you have a dictator in the office, and this guy's terrible. You know they're saying this kind of things around the dinner table, around the house. The kids are picking up on this vibe. They do that. You might think you can keep things from your kids. You're not. I grew up in a family. There was a lot of tension in our family when I was a kid, when I was 4 or 5 years old. And apparently my parents didn't realize how thin the walls were in our house. Because, you know, they never really argued much in front of us. But they definitely argued when the doors were closed. But the house was small and it was not that well insulated. There was a lot of turmoil going on in the home, let's just put it that way. And we heard it. Now, most parents are pretty good about having their arguments behind, in the old days, back when I was a kid, it was typically traditional for parents and adults to have they wouldn't have arguments in front of the children. They need to at least have a sense of tranquil life growing up as much as possible without too much disturbance. Now, that didn't happen in every home, believe me. I get that, but it was a major event if you heard of someone arguing in front of their children or something. That's almost an abusive situation for the child. Nowadays it's not a big deal at all. But kids pick up on the vibe as well. They can tell what's happening. more than you realize. I remember being a kid. I remember things about being a kid that most people forget. It's which is weird. But I kind of freaked out my parents. I freak out people occasionally just by bringing up things that happened when I was 3 or 4 years old. Most people would not remember. I remember stuff when I was 1 year old, even before I was 1 year old. I will mention something about something I remember, and it's out of the blue. And it'll blow my brother or sister away. I'll have a memory pop up about something. Well, you must have seen pictures or something. Then I'll bring up something that was never in any pictures. and it'll freak them out. It will freak them out. I remember stories that my brother will tell. My brother's about 8 years older than I am. So he was plenty old enough when I was growing up. And I'll tell him details about stories about things that he'll tell stories about me, and I'll tell him details about stuff that he did during that time. He doesn't remember any of that. Which is normal. That's normal. For some reason, I am Abby. I am Abby normal, and I don't understand why I remember. Probably because I won't remember. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I'm sure it was Wheaties. I know I did because that's what I have every day. But that was yesterday. Now, the day before, I ate at a restaurant. I had breakfast at a restaurant, but and I had the meat omelet. It was very good. Anyway, I don't know where was I going with all this. This is the joy of this show. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a recreational therapist. I have a I just have a lot of opinions, and I like to share them about the news. But if you want to share your opinion to me about what you think about the news, about what you think about what I think about the news, you can call or text the show. There's a hotline. I got a hotline. 812-379-8778. You can call or text the show. If you live outside the country, you can actually text the show through google.com/voice and type that number in, 812-379-8778. And you can type in comments, questions, things that you'd rather have. Maybe you don't want to be on the show. Just have a comment or have a question, just something you want me to respond to. Or maybe you have something, if you want to put a voicemail on there, you can put that on, and I might put it on the show if you want me to do that. We'll ask for your name. You can give me a phony name. I don't care about that. It doesn't matter if you call yourself Bugaboo. That's fine. I don't, whoever you are, whatever. Okay, so that's anyway. This kid walking out the door asks the question: will it change things? And I think at that moment, this woman, she wasn't expecting that question. She didn't know how to respond, but all she could say was, "I hope so." What is this attitude doing to that child? First of all, you should give them a straight answer. If I was there, I'd have said, "Nope, not going to change it. No, not going to change a thing. I just not going to change it. It's going to change you. You're going to feel like you've done something righteous, and you've got some kind of virtue." Because you stood up to the fascists. You stood up to the king and the dictator. Babylon B had probably one of the best responses. I should probably find this. I think I usually save these where did it go? It's got to be here someplace. No, that wasn't, it was just yesterday. Talking about how left, it was pretty funny. Leftists protest Trump, Donald Trump, by declaring him king or whatever. They have to declare him king first before you say no kings. You know, you're not going to be a king. I don't see it on here now. I must have deleted it. I usually don't delete the Babylon Bee stuff that has any kind of content that I like. I don't see it on here right now. It's perfect because it just shows you how far into the brain the Donald Trump derangement syndrome goes, and they don't realize how what they do here. They're literally having to declare him king in order to say that he's not a king. It's just the irony of the whole situation that I think with Dog Bite Awareness Week for the U.S. Postal Service, and they've got this got this Labrador. It's like a Labrador Retriever, one of the friendliest dogs in the world, wagging its tail. You can tell it's obviously wagging its tail, not showing any signs of aggression. And this lady's holding up her bag to this dog, and it looks like the dog's coming after her. But the dog's probably got his tongue hanging out, mouth open. He's got his ears back. He's wagging his tail, and he's trotting along, and he's looking like he's hoping to get some treats. And so he's not at all aggressive. And this lady's trying to make him look like this dog's coming after him, after her, I guess. Yeah, pretty funny. So the point is, in this whole thing, that these protests, again, what same playbook you'd used in 2020, cause the chaos in the streets. We've got the George Floyd thing going on. We have to do the whole thing, and then we have to declare, you'd think that Donald Trump himself was the one out there putting his knee on the back of the sainted George Floyd. And yet, there's no, just protest for protest's sake. It blows my mind that they just continue on with this rhetoric and the craziness of it all. Now, in the meantime, what is that? Okay, there was an interview between Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson. Two people that I like, and yet there are some things I don't like about each of them. Now, I like Tucker a lot. I do like Ted Cruz a lot. Ted Cruz has kind of slipped into the political realm of, he's found his groove. He kind of does his thing. And of course, the media will not allow him just to be a human being. But that's I understand that. Tucker Carlson goes after him with, what's the population of Iran? Now, this is one of those situations where you're being interviewed on somebody's show. This is much, I equate this to the same thing as some people. I would imagine that Ted Cruz could probably ask Tucker Carlson some questions that Ted Cruz knows the answer to, and he could probably trip up Tucker Carlson on some things that he knows about Iran. It's always easy to ask someone questions that you know the answer to and make them look stupid because you know the answer. It's a point of, I call it a point of power. It's a posturing. It's a positioning of, I am in the know and you know nothing. Even if your facts are incorrect, it gets really tricky. It becomes some kind of a. Now, so Tucker Carlson asks Ted Cruz, "What's the population of Iran?" Because Ted Cruz is calling for the overthrow of the government there. It's a bad regime. And I think anybody who looks at it for 5 minutes can say, yeah, that needs to go away. Now, how that needs to happen is a whole other story. I don't know that we need to get involved in it, but that's still the same. Whatever. We can call for the people of Iran to overthrow their government. That's the most effective way for it to happen. And us trying to make it happen tends to not work out so well. It's kind of like the cop that shows up at a domestic dispute between a husband and a wife or whatever's going on. Two people in a home, and they're having this domestic dispute, and the next thing you know, the cop tries to break it up, and the next thing you know, they turn on the cop because the cop came in to meddle in their situation. There's no good outcome for that cop trying to do that. And that's kind of where the U.S. puts itself all the time when in these kinds of situations. We try to put ourselves in and meddle in other people's stuff, and then we wonder why, you know, they turn on us. We're trying to help you. They need to figure out how to help themselves sometimes. So this he's asking this question. Well, Ted Cruz should have just shot out an answer. Oh, she should have said like 80 million, between 80 and 100 million. Or she just said 40 million. And Tucker Carlson went, no, it's 92 million. Where'd you get your numbers? How many people right now are living in China, for example? They claim 1.2 billion. That's China's official statement. It's very questionable. In fact, there are some people who have done some significant study, like really looked into like salt consumption, cell phone usage, all kinds of things. It's questionable whether there's even half a billion people in China right now. And they are calling for families to have children again. The one child, you know, one family, one child thing, whatever that was, it was called, has gone away. That's gone away completely. And they're having this promotional thing on having people have more kids. It's they see population as being a strength, so they're not going to admit that they have a lower population. Plus the fact they don't want to admit that they had any deaths from COVID. That's a whole other thing. As well as some economic issues that they had where they had a lot of starvation going on. They don't want to admit all that stuff. They have cities, these big cities, that are empty. And it's really weird. It's just a weird, really weird situation. But so how do you know? How do you know what the real population is? Are you going by who's counting the numbers? Who did the census? But Tucker Carlson knows, 92 million. You're trying to topple a government and you don't know what the population, you should know the population of that. And Ted was like, what, at this, you know, kind of a Hillary Clinton answer, at this point, what difference does it make? And then he asks some other questions about what's the demographic makeup? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, what do you mean? They're Persian. They're part of the population is Shia. He goes on with this whole thing of what's your point here? And of course, it makes for those who don't like Ted Cruz or for those who are big Tucker fans, Tucker's making it look like Ted is on the ropes and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Which is I don't like that. To me, it was disrespectful, first of all. And it was very, in a sense, condescending. It was very, it was a setup. It was a trap. And I guess that to me, kind of cheapens Tucker a little bit, in my opinion. Now, the reason I probably have such a reaction to this is because I spent a lot of years and still have a lot of years in a career where every 6 months I had to be called before this evaluator and asked questions. It was an oral exam where they ask you these questions about systems on an airplane or whatever it was, with electrical systems, hydraulic systems, all this kind of stuff, and they'd ask you these random weird questions. Someone would just sit around all day thinking up these weird questions. Questions that didn't have anything to do with anything I was doing. I was a pilot. And I couldn't control what. Okay, if you lose system two, what systems do you lose, and what can you do, and how do you bring it back? Well, I get out the checklist, and I read through the checklist, and I go by what the airplane's telling me from the front. I'm not going to get out with a wrench and start wrenching on things. I don't need to know that it's Skydrol 5051. I don't need to know what kind of hydraulic fluid is in that system. All I know you need to know is whether or not it's flammable and what I need to, you know, is it, and I don't even need to know that. Just because all you're going to ask me at the end of the day If I do anything that's not on the checklist, you're going to yell at me for that. So just ask me about the checklist. Ask me how to find the checklist and how I'd fix that. I'll start going through how to build the airplane. And that has changed. The attitude towards that kind of training now has changed somewhat. We used to have to know how to build the airplane. We had to, you know, what kind of bolt is on there? What's the hardness of that rivet? They didn't ask us that kind of question. Well, some of them did. Some of them actually did ask those kinds of stupid questions. They were kind of joking about it. Usually, how much do the batteries weigh? So things like that. There's just, you know, of course you come back with, are they Eveready's or Duracells? I mean, it's just, you can't, there. Oh, well, can we, it's kind of like the Monty Python thing. But I told the one guy who was the head of the training department in the one company I was working for. I said, you know, we don't have recurrent training here. We have recurrent testing. I come here. You don't train me anything. You don't train anything. I have to study on my own. And I have to show up wondering what in the world you're going to ask me because it's random. It can come from anywhere. I have to know I have to be prepared for everything because I don't know what you're going to ask. Depending on the instructor, and you have to find out what the gouge is on that particular instructor. And that instructor might have all of a sudden came up with some weird question last night that he's going to ask me. He's going to fail me for not knowing that answer. Or he's going to undermine my confidence by pulling the rug out from under me. It's just on and on with this kind of stuff. I told one of the examiners one time, I would look pretty smart too if I was standing behind a desk or sitting behind a desk asking questions that I knew the answer to. And I passed. I never failed a check ride. Let's put it that way. Well, there was one I did. It turned out that it was he actually got in trouble for it. It was because the head of the training department came and did my check ride after that. I didn't even make it through the oral. And I knew the night before, because of the way this guy talked to me, I knew I was going to pass. He had a grudge against me. He had some kind of issue because when I flew with him one time, he didn't like something. And I was the captain. He was the FO. I flew with him, and he didn't like something because I made a joke about something or whatever. It wasn't about the way I was flying. And he had this grudge. He's going to get me. And he had a lot of grudges against a lot of pilots, and he was failing a lot of them. A lot of these captains that he'd flown with, he didn't like. So he decides that he's going to fail me. And he kind of let me know the night before. I was actually calling people going, hey, what should I do about this? Some people were suggesting I call in sick. I don't know if I was going to call in sick. I failed a check ride ever in my life. Not private pilot, CFI, nothing. Never had a student that failed a check ride. I had 87 students that I signed off for check rides. None of them ever failed. And all of a sudden, this guy decides, about halfway into the oral exam, well, you know, I've asked you a few questions and you haven't given me the answers, so I'm going to go ahead and fail you. So, good. So I knew it was going to happen, so I already had my bags in the room. Shook his hand, said, is there any paperwork or anything, or I just need to leave? So I was on a plane back halfway home by the time management called me and said they would, somebody from management was going to step in and redo my check ride for me. I said, I'm already halfway home. You have to reschedule it. Sorry. And so the head of the flight department, the head training guy, the chief flight instructor, he came in and did my check ride. And he said, I understand that you and so-and-so have a problem with each other. I said, I don't have a problem with him. Apparently he has a problem with me. I said, if you want to talk to him about it, that's fine. I'd be happy to sit in on that conversation. But I said, I don't have a problem with him. He has a problem with me. So I never heard anything more about it other than knowing the guy that got fired out of the training department soon after that. So I don't know what all was going on there. I think he got over it. I think something happened with the guy he grew up. Because he later on in life, I met him again, and he's a very different person. So I think there was, he did some growing in that process, which is good. We all do, but this is the kind of thing that I get really frustrated with is that people in those kinds of situations have no sympathy, no empathy, no ability to put themselves in the other person's shoes and help them through the interview. There's no I don't know what the word is. It's just there's no compatibility with this idea that we're going to work together through this problem and have a discussion. And I think that's where a lot of people fall short, I think, in their process in so much of this, is that they lose the ability to have a conversation because they are so caught up and so just off the rails with their derangement. They're just so triggered emotionally by some things that they can't. And it's one thing to have a passionate discussion. There's two different ways to look at this. You can have a passionate discussion about something and feel very passionately about it and still be able to disagree and try to hear the other person speaking. You can do that. That requires some restraint and discipline on your own side. But again, this takes self-reflection. It takes self-awareness and introspection. It takes the ability to have a strong, passionate opinion or stance on something and still yet be willing to actually stop long enough to actually listen and hear what the other person is saying. Now, typically, especially the older I get, when this happens, when this conflict starts to rise, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not worth having the conversation. When they are so, and that's why I've pretty much tuned out of Facebook. I don't jump. I see some situations occasionally where somebody will post something on Facebook, and I so want to jump in and say something, just lob a grenade into it. And I know it just isn't worth my time. There's not a single heart that's going to be changed. There's not a single mind that's going to be changed. This is you're talking to someone who's frothing at the mouth. Their attitude is they are cementing themselves into their own little box. They're not interested in a discussion. They're interested in proving their point and having their virtue be signaled and paraded around on a flagpole. And that's when you start shaking the pole, they don't like that. They're just going to turn on you. That's just the way it is. As I get older and a little bit more, I guess, wise, maybe, or maybe just I don't care anymore. This is where it goes. So that's good, sweet tea. They have all that stuff is happening. Now I want to talk about the obvious thing in the room. Again, 812-379-8778. Let me know your opinion on that whole thing. Especially this opinion, your opinion on what's going on here in Iran right now. This whole thing, apparently we are getting a little bit more involved in the potential. Now, I don't know. I think it's saber rattling on Trump's part, saying that we may have to start, getting involved in the whole thing with Iran. Now, basically Iran is lost about at least 75% of what they were capable of doing before. They right now, they don't even have a plane that they can probably get off a runway to even touch Israel. My understanding is Israel pretty much has air superiority throughout the entire country of Iran. I don't know what all they're doing. I do know that they have launched some more rockets back at Israel. I think this happened yesterday. And the timeline is a little bit when we say yesterday, I'm not sure if that means yesterday their time, yesterday our time, whatever it was going to be. And I don't know that they were launched during the day. Usually they launch their missiles at night, which is kind of weird. But it's just harder for them to see. But they're pretty much been left ineffective at this point. Most of their main leaders are gone. They took them out pretty quickly at the very beginning of this whole thing. People are saying that this was an unprovoked attack. Now, you have to remember, it was an extremely restrained attack. Extremely restrained counter-offensive. I could go on and list about three different times that Iran has attacked through their proxies. Now, not always just directly from Iran, but it was from Iran. It was just there through their proxies. I've attacked Israel three times in the last about 4 years. Or I guess a little less than that, probably 2 years. And so yes and no. They could have just ignored it and kept on going. And of course, there's been this rattling thing about Iran getting a nuclear weapon for many, many years. When the French went into Iran and helped them get their first nuclear power plant. You have to understand the problem with nuclear power. To make nuclear power, I'm not a nuclear physicist, but my understanding is the centrifuges that helped you make the heavy, whatever it is, to make the stuff that you make the, I'm going to call it stuff. Stuff is a scientific word. They use that. Stands for, so they have these centrifuges that spin this water. You have to have heavy water. You have to have, do all this stuff with the uranium. I think in order to make power grade fuel requires about 20, I think it's 20% or 25%, 30%, something like that, of the uranium, whatever, centrifuge stuff. It requires a lot of spinning of these little bottles. And it takes time to make this stuff. There's no way to speed up the process, really, other than just having lots of them. So the weapons grade uranium requires like 95% purity, which is a huge difference between the two. And so the problem is, once you have the ability to make the fissible material, you have the ability to also make fissible material for weapons grade. It's the same process. It just takes longer. Now, they have these underground bunkers. They have these underground facilities where they do all this stuff. And it's not even known for sure if we know where all of those are. Israel has done Mossad has done a pretty good job of infiltrating most of this and knowing what they're doing over there. Which is why and so at one point during, I think it was it the 70s? It was either the 70s or the 80s. Israel decided to bomb the facility, the nuclear power facility in Iran. And it was a weird situation where the radar was down in Iran. They snuck in with their airplanes, took out we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars back then, be billions of dollars now, putting in this nuclear facility. So now they've gone underground with all this stuff, a lot of this stuff. They supposedly have these centrifuges that are spinning right now. And of course, we know what if you put a certain amount of fuel in a centrifuge or whatever it is, that it takes a certain amount of time to make the fuel, make everything work. So they know that if they're spinning them right now, they would take so many years or whatever to get the fuel made, whatever. So they keep saying that they're a year away from having a nuclear weapon. They're 2 years away from having a nuclear weapon. Of course, and the other issue is, do they have something they can even deliver the weapon with? Do they have an intercontinental ballistic missile? Do they have any kind of missile they can actually put on a nuclear weapon on and actually make it work? Now, North Korea supposedly has missiles, and supposedly North Korea has tested nuclear weapons. I don't know if they have or not. All I know is they've had some really big underground explosions. Were they nuclear or not? I don't know. It's they may have been putting on a show, and yet again, they may not have been. I don't. It's very difficult to tell. So, in the process of all this, I think that Israel probably knows, but they've always used this as a, how you say, as a justification for what they're doing with regards to their military strikes and whatnot, everything that they're doing. Now, I guarantee you, if Iran had, if the current regime in Iran, and especially the radical Muslims who are there, if they had a nuclear weapon, they would destroy Israel. There was no question. If Israel laid down its arms today and said, we want to live in peace, we're going to lay down our arms, let's just all live in peace, no more war, let's live together. No, they are going to wipe you from the river to the sea. You will be no more. That is their attitude. That's what they believe right now. They don't believe you have a right to exist. They don't believe that you should be there. The whole thing would be, again, it would be one big Gaza. Now, having said that, the other way around, Israel would have nuclear weapons and they're not going to wipe out their neighbors. Israel will not admit to having nuclear weapons, but everybody knows they have them. In fact, one was lost. I think it was the Yom Kippur War. What was it? I can't remember which it was. It was a very quick war. It might have been 67. Was it the four-day war? What was it? 3-day war. It was or 7-day, whatever it was. There was a short war there that they had, and it didn't last long. And I believe that they lost an airplane. They believe that one airplane may have had a nuclear weapon on it because they were patrolling with it. Apparently, it's all conspiracy, rumors, theory, whatever you want to call it. At this point, it's not. I don't think it's ever been officially. I'm sure it's not ever been officially announced by the Israeli government, but I think it's pretty clear that they had a problem because they were a serious search that they went after this airplane with. So So the question is, what is going on over there in terms of how the U.S. is going to get involved? Now, you've got some people who are saying that we are already involved. And I know Ted Cruz and this whole thing between Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson, the interview went on and Ted was saying something about we have, taken out this, taken out that. And Tucker said, this is news tonight. We're actually involved in the military action. He said, Israel's doing it with our help. So he's saying we. And again, this was a very adversarial interview, in my opinion, with Ted Cruz. And I understand Tucker's angst towards some of these Republicans. I get it. But at the same time, these are people who are basically, I'll say on our side, or they're basically on the side that we can actually have a discussion with. And you're starting to ostracize them. And I don't see that being healthy or helpful. I don't see that being the case. I think that you could have a conversation without the jumping to accusation, the accusatory tone, the vibe that you're putting off, this whole idea that there's – and I get it. I get why you're upset. But again, whether it's on the right or the left, your virtue signaling is really quite unbecoming. And it's very obvious. And it's rather frustrating for those of us who are just trying to figure out what's going on with all this stuff. In the meantime, I do want to say, let me know what you think about this stuff. 812-379-8778. Give me a call. Give me a text. Ask a question. Let me know your opinion. Let me know if you want me to explore something else or want me to talk about it. You want to know what my opinion is about something? Just let me know. Oh, it's going to be a busy day. We have lots of things going on. Tomorrow there will be a show, and I'm hoping the plan is to have a live video show tomorrow on Rumble, possibly on Facebook. But the plan is to have a live Rumble show tomorrow. In the meantime, folks, pray for our nation. Pray for those who are in leadership, and pray for each other. We will move on. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. See you tomorrow, hopefully. See ya.